Hello, I'm Bree Benfell, actress, model, co-founder of Angea and mother to a baby girl, Theodora.
And I'm Sharon Wong, founder and CEO of Mother's Work, author of Womum and mother to three young adults.
We are two mummies wanting to share the dirty truths about motherhood.
Get informed by experts, listen to inspiring mamas, and giggle with us as we talk about the things no one else will.
Welcome to the Making of Motherhood podcast. Hello, mamas. Joining us today on Making of Motherhood podcast is Dolores Au, mother of five, co-founder and CEO of multiple businesses. One that is very close to our hearts is Mummy Feek, an independent e-magazine and multimedia company catering to mother and baby industry, which is what we are all about. Welcome to the Making of Motherhood. We are so thrilled to have you here today.
Thank you for the warm welcome, Bree. Hi, Sharon.
Hello, Dolores. How are you?
Very good, but kind of sleepy today.
I know you just flew back all the way from LA to join us on this podcast.
Yes.
just for this podcast, just for us. Thank you so much.
So we know you very well, Doll, but maybe for our listeners, just recap in your own words, briefly. I know it's going to take all day because your history is so colorful and amazing as a mother of five. Mm-hmm. But just a little bit about yourself and share with our listeners.
Okay, very quickly. Well, I'm Dolores Au. I have five kids. I lose track sometimes. Four daughters and one son. They're 22, 12, 6, 5, and a little boy, one. He just turned one.
So the age group difference with 22 and 12.
Yeah, 22.
The oldest to the youngest is there's a 21-year gap, Brie.
Whoa. How is that? Just tell me everything.
Well, we're a blended family. So I've got three marriages.
I had two.
Right now I've got one. So two of them, the older ones, they're in Singapore. The three younger ones, they are based in Los Angeles with me right now and the husband.
Mm. So you were pregnant over two decades.
That's right.
A lot of things would have changed between your first pregnancy and your latest pregnancy. And four girls and a boy. So maybe just compare your first pregnancy, things you did, things you're not allowed to do, and your latest pregnancy.
Okay, where do I begin? Okay, I'm just going to start from my first daughter. So I was 24 when I had her, 1999. And we didn't have internet then, or rather, you know, it's not on the phone. So information was not at your fingertip. And everything I learned through magazines. Not many of my friends had baby that young. Most of them had baby closer to 30. So I had no peer I could talk to, ask questions. I was pretty much alone. Well, everything was just discovery. Every step of the way was just pure discovery for me. So let's talk about breastfeeding. I breastfed her for 1 month, but because the baby's daddy then had to be posted to Australia, I couldn't manage. So I had to give up after about 4.5 weeks and switch to formula. So again, I didn't have much support. I didn't know what kind of formula to use. And it was just listening to relatives. So right now, for example, you have so much resource all around you. You've got peers, you've got portals, you've got interest groups. They're all over. You've got Facebook, you've got social media. And, you know, one reason why Mummy Feek was started 6 years ago is because when I had Laura, and that was number four, I got pregnant 4 months after I had Charlie.
Did you?
Yes. Ooh. So they're 13 months apart.
How did that happen?
And I haven't edited.
4 months. Well, yeah. I mean, can you even get pregnant?
Your body? I feel like it takes some time to heal.
I didn't think I would get pregnant then. And I had them all through cesareans. So I
all
was
five. All
yes,
five.
All five. So I was very scared because I had a cesarean and then barely a year later, I'd be having another one. So I was trying to find similar experiences, like moms with similar experiences to mine, or examples. I couldn't. When I Googled, I couldn't find anything that was local, that was relevant to the local context. And everything I read was UK-based, US-based, Australian-based, and they weren't very, I would say, up-to-date because the culture here is different. The hospitals here function differently. So I was really frustrated, and I realized there was an opportunity for me to actually provide a platform where moms like me could easily find answers and solutions to their questions. I couldn't find anything locally too. They were either all too colloquial, so they were dealing more with more common issues, right? So they're like forums.
Yeah.
And so the facts that was put out there weren't substantiated. It wasn't like a doctor was going to say that, okay, this is what's going to happen, but these are moms sharing experiences. And I do find that, well, there's a certain danger to that. For example, if a mom were to offer a vulnerable mom, a new mom, certain solution that is not backed scientifically or medically, I think that's kind of dangerous.
So basically, we're talking about fake news, right?
Yes.
And
fake news and old wives' tales.
Yes. Right. And also, I mean, for better or for worse, social media has brought the world closer together, but also created a channel for fake news or my way is the best way without being backed.
That's right. So, well, I'm an entrepreneur and a businesswoman. So I realized that I really wanted to start something because I was stuck in that. And I found partners who actually started that with me. So that's where we are today.
So Mummy Fig is how many years old now?
6.
Same age as Charlie? Charlie is...
That's right, 215.
Wow. So that was your 4th pregnancy.
Yeah.
And you thought, that's it? I want 4? Or did you plan on having number 5?
We wanted another one. Yeah, but I wanted to give it a little space in between. But the funny thing is, you know, my girlfriends used to laugh at me like, you know, if he sneezes on you, you just get pregnant, right? But it wasn't to be so. So in between, I had 2 failed IVFs. I just wasn't producing enough eggs and I couldn't understand why. I never had issues conceiving.
Age?
Could be. I suspect so.
Don't forget, your first pregnancy was 24.
24, that's right. But it seems that I was producing eggs. It's just that eggs weren't viable. So it didn't work. And when I thought I had given up and go, you know what? Maybe it's just not meant to be. And I literally gave up because all the clothes that I kept and all the baby stuff, I donated them away. And 2 months after that, I got pregnant.
I feel like that's with the way 5. A lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So how were all your pregnancies? Were they all different or were they very much the same?
Very, very, very different. So for Elizabeth, that's the first one. It was my first. I put on 24 kg. Yes, I had another me attached to me. So that was the most I ever put on. And I learned because the weight gave me back issues. And well, it was just not nice when you, you know, when you get up and you're like, is the baby out because your stomach is still as big after the cesarean? So with Sophie, it was uneventful. It was smooth, but I developed mastitis 2.5 weeks into breastfeeding and infection got so bad. I didn't see a doctor. I don't know why. And I kind of like listened to friends and tried putting cabbage or certain vegetables on my breast. And because it was so painful, I actually took hot baths without realizing that the hot water actually makes it worse because it's, you know, your glands are producing the milk and stuck. So I had a terribly high fever for like a full day and I had to be admitted back to the hospital. It was painful. I guess that kind of turned me off breastfeeding. So for Charlotte and Laura, even though it was many years after, I never forgot that experience. It was traumatic. So I made a conscious decision not to breastfeed and put them straight on formula.
So what happens when you don't breastfeed from the beginning? What happens to the milk? The milk comes in, right?
Yes. But if you choose not to, and pediatrician respects your decision, they'll give you a pill to stop the production.
Mm-hmm. Right from the beginning, right after birth.
Yeah, and you choose what's best for you. I mean, mastitis when it's really bad. I mean, even if it's mild, it's awful. And I've seen so many friends go through ending up in the hospital and said it's worse than giving birth and how painful it is.
Yeah.
And if you go through that, I can only imagine why you might be turned off from breastfeeding.
That's right. And also, I mean, it was really a personal choice. And at that time, I was also really busy with work. I did not do the full 4-month maternity. I sprung out and basically went back to work the moment I could. And that was like barely days after. I was just working already.
Wow.
Yeah. And if I had breastfed, I think I would have taken a longer time to slide back into work and what I had to do.
Listen to your body. And I definitely probably did that too much. I'm like, oh, it's been 6 months and I'm just... And how about your last pregnancy?
Because it was unexpected. It was such a nice surprise.
Wait, all four were unexpected. Even though you want to have kids, it's not like you planned to have and you just got pregnant, right?
Yeah, that's right. But I actually gave up, you know, mentally, emotionally. I stopped hoping.
This is after 2 failed IVFs.
That's right. 2 failed IVFs in different countries. I was told by the last doctor, and he's a very senior fertility doctor here, that, you know, doll, give your body a break, you know, with age and everything. Just give a break and just enjoy your children. I think that was the best advice ever. And being relaxed and not having the pressure, I guess, about, hey, the clock is ticking, I'm not young anymore, it could have helped me conceive.
Yeah.
So when the baby came and I knew that I was not going to have more, definitely not, I wanted to breastfeed.
Yeah.
I'm in a more comfortable position. I was ready mentally. I wanted to breastfeed very badly. And I made all the preparations for it. Iron mummy fake. So, and I was reading about all these. And I'm surrounded by people who gave me all the support I could. I had access to resources. I had access to help. I prepared all the breastfeeding kits and everything that I need, literally, all the pumps.
Yeah, we went through all the parts.
Yes.
Thank you, Sharon.
Which one did you go for?
LV.
Yes.
She got the LV and also the Medela, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
And she was all ready. Like, when I'm home, I'm going to use this. And when out on the go, I'm going to use this.
LV, yes.
And she was already prepared to breastfeed little Michael this time.
Mm-hmm.
And?
I tried. So he was born borderline premature, I think exactly 36 weeks. Because I've had 4 cesareans before, my scar was pretty thin. And my pediatrician advised that I couldn't wait longer than 36. I might rupture. Yes, stressful. But you know what? Even though it was not a great year last year for most people because of COVID, it gave me the opportunity to just totally rest at home. In normal circumstances, I will be out and about. It's hard keeping me down, especially like full bed rest and stuff. So it was good. I rested. And when the baby came out, I think it was about 2.4, thereabouts, 2.38, thereabouts. So he was tiny but healthy. On the second day, though, they had him in NICU. So I only had 2 sessions of him on my breast. He didn't take because, you know, usually premature babies take a little while. So I didn't have like body-to-body contact and I was told to pump with the hospital pumps.
Yeah.
I tried and it was just a few droplets. Just a few drops. I just tried and I guess the hospital had to substantiate a little bit.
Yeah.
But I did try, like, you know, as much as possible, try to, I'm just doing it every 2 hours. Just try to feed him breast milk. I just wasn't producing enough. I thought, okay, it's going to kick in. So when he was discharged and I went back, I just pumped and tried feeding and I tried pumping and I went. After the third day, I said, this is not working. He's just crying and crying.
Yeah.
So I got a very senior lactation consultant on a one-on-one for 2 hours. We went through everything. It looked like I was on the way to having the flow when she left, but they went back. I'm not sure what happened. And I realized something when I thought about it. I actually felt sick when the baby was latching onto me.
Wow.
Yes, I didn't feel maternal. I was feeling upset most of the time. And I felt nauseous when I was trying to breastfeed the baby and the baby was latching and, you know, maybe I was having the letdown. I felt that I wanted to, you know, heave. I was heaving. I was just dry heaving all the time. I was like, this is not right. So when I spoke to the lactation consultant, she was there. She said, oh, it's normal. It's normal. It's normal.
Is it?
Well, that's what she said. okay, I'll try harder. And then after 2 to 3 days, it just didn't work.
Yeah.
I had to substantiate with some formula because my baby has to drink. But as much as possible, I tried to latch on again, even though I felt sick. When I went for his usual check with a pediatrician, he lost a lot of weight. He was like 2.18.
Oh, dear.
Mm. Yeah. So it's like, okay, no, you have to give formula. Pro-breastfeeding, but the baby needs to grow. It was exactly 12 days after. That's when I told myself, you know what? I'm not going to force it.
Didn't you just feel so much happier once you made that decision? Yes. And then
yes. I knew that I'm going to be more tired because when you actually feed formula, you have to get up to actually make it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, breastfeeding moms, they're tired. Like,
yeah.
But then you put the baby on you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, you can take a little nap when the baby is like feeding on you. But it's tough when you're feeding formula. You can literally get up and wash the bottles and all that.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah. So I literally just went, I'm giving up. I'm not doing this anymore. I think my sanity is more important at that point. And as long as the baby needs to get fed, I guess the instruction by the pediatrician was like, I need to hear that.
Yeah.
I needed someone to tell me it's okay.
Did you have any friends and family or, I mean, you have a following on social media, mm-hmm. people messaging you negative about it, or everyone was super supportive?
Everyone was supportive.
Yeah, good. So they should be. But you do get the odd people that have the bloody opinion.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to know if you experienced that. And it's good that you didn't.
No. You know what? I've always met really nice people.
Good.
Also, maybe because, you know, I can look pretty fierce.
No, I think it's because you're pretty chill. So people respect your decision. And they know that once you make that decision, you know, you've thought it through. It's not like you just did it because on a whim or something. Michael is 12 months. He's 1 year old now.
He just turned one, a little bit more than that. And he's like 13 kg right now. He's a big boy.
13 kg. Oh my goodness. That's brilliant.
Hefty little boy. And that's what all of us want, right? Growing children, growing babies.
Yes.
Healthy growing babies. Yes. That's what we want, you know. Formula, breasts. I guess for me, they just have to be fed.
Well, yeah, it's true. Fed is best, no matter what way you feed your children. I feel sad for any mum that feels horrible or upset by the decisions that they've made from other people's opinions.
Yeah.
So if you're one of those listening, tell everyone to piss off.
Be the mother you want to be.
Be the mother you want to be. Maybe say that instead of piss off.
Be the mother you want to be. To summarize all that, I mean, what were your biggest struggles, I think, with all five kids? Was it just breastfeeding or really being a mum to five?
Well, what's it like having a 21-year-old and a one-year-old?
Okay.
And all in between?
I guess I'll have to delve a little bit into what I was doing when I was having those kids. So I've always had good support. I've got helpers. I've got parents, you know, I had in-laws who actually help out. And that really made a difference. And I find Singapore very mummy-friendly.
Family-friendly.
Yes.
Mummy-friendly as well, okay? Yeah. Because they really make it possible for us to actually work and still have children.
Yes.
And it's super obvious to me, especially after I've moved to Los Angeles, help is extremely expensive there. And most of the time, it's unregulated. They're expensive, they're unregulated. So trust is something that most new moms have issues with, especially if the baby is too young. And places that you work at could be very far from where you live. Because before the baby comes, you know, distance is always an issue, right? So it's tough. It's not that affordable to get help. So most of the mothers I spoke to who used to have careers, when they weigh the pros and cons, the financials, they realize that, hey, it makes more sense for me to just stay home until the baby is much bigger.
Right.
3 years, 4 years, and then go to childcare. And they give up their career most of the time. You know, mothers here,
we have it easy. Yes, actually, yes. We have it easy.
That's right.
I do agree. That's why I'm not going anywhere.
Bree's going to be Singaporean soon.
I'm pretty much am, I feel. I just need to work on my Singlish.
So that is something I miss a lot.
So how do you juggle that now? Because you're still very, very active with your businesses. And you have a little one.
The funny thing is, because I've got all this help, and Singapore has a great infrastructure in terms of supporting moms to have both careers and as well as children, right? I never felt it was difficult with older kids.
Yeah.
I never felt that we missed out on a lot. And I breezed through it, literally. And my girls, they were very good girls, very good girls. I didn't have any problems. So maybe that's why I didn't mind having more children, because I kind of figured, well, it might all be like that. But it's different when I moved over. I don't have consistent help. You know, I get babysitters and a housekeeper to come, nannies and all. But it's not consistent. They're not there all the time to help us live in.
Yeah.
So I've had to be very, very hands-on most of the time, especially during COVID, when I did not even have help at all. I have to clean the house, I have to cook, I have to take care of two preschoolers and a baby.
Yeah.
Mm. And work. Work in the US, work in Singapore.
I mean, that's amazing. You're incredible.
That's the main difference if you ask me about all the children.
Yeah.
And even though people look at me, oh, you've got so many children, you're so experienced. But every one of them, my journey with every one of them is different. And in this later stage of my life and being an older mom, it feels like I'm doing it for the first time.
Yeah.
I've never been so hands-on. I'm a quality time mom.
Do you have any friends who are a similar age to you that's also been going through pregnancy and having a one-year-old?
Similar age?
Not off the top of my head. I've got friends, many friends, who had their baby after 40, but they would already be in primary school, they would be in kindergarten. So no, not a one-year-old.
How's that? Do you have good mum friends?
I've got many, many mom friends. Yeah. And
you probably have the most.
I have many mom friends from different decades, from different generations.
Yeah.
And a lot of my friends are like me. Career was really important to us. So they delayed having kids till they were 40.
Yeah.
I mean, during our parents' time, this was super late. Super late. But it's getting now more common.
It's quite common, actually.
Mm. Yeah.
Did you see any difference? So giving birth in your early 20s, what is the difference? How do you feel a difference in your body from your pregnancy?
Recovery was slower.
How
and
much
more
slower?
Painful. Number one, number two, number three was very uneventful. Everything. And you know, like with Charlotte, I'm talking about 7 years different with Charlotte, right? With Charlotte and Sophie. So I had that break.
Yeah.
But you were also very young.
I sprung.
Right, from Sophie. So you recover. I think your body recovers much faster when you're younger. So, you know, Bree, we don't want to hear you.
No, but even, you know, just the pregnancy itself, was it different? Yeah. Did you feel it more on a toll on your body?
For sure.
Just because 24, so young, right?
I was getting to there. So it's like, I mean, the only thing that I was uncomfortable with was my weight, which affected my back, my lower back, with Elizabeth, number one. But the biggest difference was when I had Laura, because I just had Charlie.
Yeah, the
year. So two cesareans.
Yeah, we've got to talk about that, because that's only a year gap.
Yeah.
That's a lot for your body to go through.
Oh, it was
terrible.
It's
so much.
I give an example. With Charlotte, I was supposed to stay in a hospital for 3 days and two nights. That is the usual, right? On the second day, I sprung up and I said, I'm good. I could take the pain. And I said, I just want to be discharged. And doctor looked at me, you're good. Go ahead. Go home. I was doing great. But with Laura, I had bleeding throughout the pregnancy. So I needed steroid jabs along the way. And then after I had her, I had to ask an additional day stay. So I stayed for 4 days with Laura because the pain was so bad.
I feel like it does take time for your body to heal. For me, it felt like it took quite some time to where I really felt myself again. Yeah. Like I'm talking like half a year. I was like, okay, now I feel me. So to get pregnant so quick, that's fresh, you know?
Yeah, but also I think the nutrients in your body hasn't really replenished, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And I had my worst hair loss after Laura, because back to back, and I was so scared I was going bald. It was coming out in patches.
How was the tiredness for you then? I mean, you had such young kids at the same age, practically twins.
Yeah, they look like twins too.
How did you deal with that?
I was still in Singapore.
Was it? Okay.
I had additional help.
Yeah.
So it was manageable still. I think it was the physical toll on me that I remember the most that left the deepest impression. It took me a long time to even walk without pain. yeah, recovery was definitely not ideal, painful. So I guess age does make a big difference.
Yeah, and yet, how many years after did you guys decide that you want another one?
But two?
Obviously, the pain was okay.
Do you want another one?
Now, no. I'm done. The factory isn't even closed. It's demolished. God. Obliterated. Nope.
And how is it having a son? I mean, you have four girls.
Yes.
And now you have a son.
It's so fun because I really miss the kids being that young. And at one, I think that's the cutest stage.
It's such a good age, isn't it? So sweet.
They're squishy and his like a chubby little round thing. It's just so fun. But boys drink a lot. I don't know why they drink a lot.
And they eat a lot, no?
They eat a lot. They drink a lot. They're a lot more active. Or maybe it's just Michael. You know, every kid's different. Yeah. I bet the girls can be too. But all my girls were angels. That's why I wasn't afraid to have more. I guess if I had two very rambunctious boys, I'd say two is enough.
Yeah, yeah.
No more.
That's how I feel about Thea. Mm-hmm. She's quite chill. So maybe, oh gosh.
I'm sure you have another one. Don't wait too long, Brie.
So actually, before we go to some of the questions that we normally ask, what surprised you most about motherhood? So you got to dig way back.
And now you can still be surprised from your son.
Well, what surprised me personally?
Yes.
Well, I think what surprised me was how I've actually embraced it as a life passion to want to work with other mothers, to want to improve the life of other mothers, you know. My background has always been fashion, lifestyle, agency. I used to run my own, exited, and then started my own business. I never thought that a business in motherhood and babies was something I would do. That was too maternal for me, right? So I guess the kids made me realize that this is something that innately I feel that I have a calling for. Yeah. I'm very passionate about.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Actually, so I think this is the biggest change.
Yeah. All three of us right now are very much into that and how wonderful. That is a surprise to me as well that I wanted to then create things to help mummies. And you've obviously...
23 years?
Yeah. Of mother's work. So it's a wonderful thing. Yeah. But definitely a surprise to me as well. I like that.
But Sharon, you know, you realized you wanted to do this very much earlier than me. See?
Within 6 months, no, she was 3 months old. So how it started was when my firstborn, right? I didn't know anything. Milk was leaking. The bottle was leaking. I go to the stores. I ask for help. And I went in three times. I'm a new mom. No one could help me. Finally got the right person. And it was as simple as the wrong tit for the wrong bottle. And I'm like, surely somebody can help moms better, especially first-time moms. So I got into it. Again, because I guess we all get into this space because we are so surprised by how little there is out there to help moms. So for me today, like Brie, when we met, you're like, I know nothing. I'm so overwhelmed. But you're such an expert. Now you know exactly what you want to do with Thea, what you want to feed Thea, and what products you want to use. So I'm glad that we are always there at the beginning of each mom's journey to help them kickstart their journey a little bit.
Yeah.
And to make them feel a little less overwhelmed. And that to me is success.
It can be so overwhelming, just everything about motherhood. So it's really nice that we are all trying to help mummies out there. It's the best thing.
Yeah. And so this podcast, right? Brie, why did we start the podcast?
Yeah, to help other mums. I was so fed up of just not knowing anything and being like, hello, why did nobody tell me that I'm going to have swollen labia or anal fissures or all these things? Why has no one given me a heads up? Sharon, we need to start a podcast to, you know, talk honestly and openly about everything about motherhood. And every day is so different.
Yes.
And there's always so much to talk about. And then that's what inspired me to start Anjaya. This isn't advertisement for Anjaya, but for all new mums, go check it out. But then coming to experts, you mentioned it early, that you need to have experts,
not just
people telling you what to do and they don't really know.
Because everyone's different, right?
Yeah.
Just because it worked for them. And I think someone said that just because you're a mother and you've breastfed doesn't make you a lactation expert.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Exactly. So bringing experts from around the world to help mums, just one source. And that's why we've done it as well. So
yeah,
just to help mamas.
So while we're on the topic, I have to ask this, Dol. What is one product you can't live without?
Does it have to be like a kitty product or is it just a personal product? Like
well,
a product?
As a mother.
I mean, you can mention a couple products.
Yes.
Whichever.
But what is one that you think you can't live without for your children so far? No, I guess latest would be Michael. What is something that has been so helpful for you?
Seriously?
Yes. I know the answer.
Jellycat rabbits.
Oh, does he know. Love Jellycat rabbits?
So cute. I mean, he was 2 months when we went over to LA and settled down there. So I didn't have access and resources, but it was COVID, right? So we had to quarantine and all to get sleep training. He's quite a fidgety baby. Even up to now, he doesn't sleep through the night. He wakes up every 3 to 4 hours, depending. So I'm perpetually tired. And I had all these Jellycat rabbits as gifts from Auntie Sharon. And I just threw them in. And he started sniffing them, rubbing his face with them. And he fell asleep on them. And today,
he has to
fall asleep on the rabbits.
That's really cute.
And he sleeps face down with his little backside up in the air.
So cute.
Yes. No, seriously, that's the one thing I realized that he needs. Because when I washed his rabbits once, I usually, that's why he has two perpetually. And thank you, you just sent 10. So I washed them both at the same time. Oh, he was upset.
Where is my rabbit?
Because where is he doesn't smell.
Yeah, he doesn't need to soothe him. That is how he self-soothes to sleep. So it's that rabbit. I tried bears. I tried raccoons. It didn't work.
Just the rabbits.
I threw the forest at him, but no, it didn't work.
I'll remember that. Okay, so I have a question for you. What values would you like to impart on your children?
Definitely, top of mind is kindness. Everyone talks about kindness. I mean, it hangs on the lips of everyone you meet. I want my kids to be kind. But you know what? It's action speaks louder than words. I see people around me, not in Singapore, because I find that generally friends and acquaintances in the US are a lot more vocal. And they'll say, oh, be kind. But they just don't show it. And over the years, I've seen how certain friends who exhibit certain traits, their kids start following it. So definitely kindness in treating people, kindness in making decisions. I will tell them be kind rather than be right.
In fact, that's what we say to the kids all the time, right? And my husband goes further and he's always reminding them that people remember how you made them feel. And he's always emphasizing that to the kids, that how you make other people feel. They will remember you. And if you're kind and they feel like you're kind to them, they will remember that. Instead of saying, I'm kind. And sometimes the kids come home and they're like, why? I'm so kind. I do this, I do that. And then they don't do it back. He'll always say, don't expect the favor to be returned. You do it because you want to.
I agree.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, before we go, what would be advice you would give to a new mama who is a little overwhelmed right now?
Don't try to do everything, right? Don't be afraid of trying and failing, because even though there are resources out there, there are books, there are experts, everyone's motherhood journey and experience is distinctly unique and different. And up to today, I can honestly tell you, even with all the millions of books out there, all these years, I don't think anyone has a perfect formula to parenthood and motherhood. So don't be too hard on yourself.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, there is no formula. Nice.
It's all trial and error, really. And what works for you, end of the day.
Yep.
Be the mother you want to be.
Yes.
High five. Right. Be the mother you want to be.
All right, thank you so much. We have come to the end of our episode and it's been so lovely to talk to you, mother of five.
I know.
That's just amazing.
She's my superhero.
Dang. But thank you so much. We really appreciate your time.
No, thank you for having me. So now I'm going to pack my bags and fly back.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Love you.
Thank you, ladies.
Bye-bye.